May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going away, and I'm telling you this before it happens, so that when it does, you will be prepared. Paraphrasing of words from this morning's Gospel according to St. John. It's always a bit tricky playing fast and loose with the lectionary, because one's always caught in a bind. One wants to be faithful to the cycle, plus the fact that we have all these insets that we have to give out each week. And yet, because of wanting to preserve the Memorial Day weekend for the commemoration of the dead, we didn't want the Ascension to slip away, which of course is the problem with the Ascension. It's always on a Thursday because it's the 40th day after the resurrection. Thursdays are not propitious days for major festivals of our Lord. And so the danger would be that the Ascension would come and go and most of us would be none the wiser. Now, once upon a time, that wouldn't have mattered very much to me because I, for most of my faith journey, have always found the Ascension to be a kind of odd thing. It's almost like it's a dramatic device that Luke uses to get Jesus off the stage in order for the next act to come on. It's a rather impoverished view of the Ascension. And in my faith journey, I have been growing into a wiser and more profound understanding of this, one of the major feasts of our Lord. Luke is the only evangelist who talks about the Ascension as we usually think about it, Jesus floating up into the clouds. It's not really mentioned in Matthew, and it's appended to Mark. It's not part of his original gospel, it's just added in later, probably to bring it into conformity with Luke. So apart from Luke, the Ascension is a bit fuzzy, as we see it in this morning's Gospel from John, where clearly John is trying to prepare the disciples for something that's going to happen, which is he's going to go away. But he doesn't really say very much more than that. And I think the important point to hold on to about the Ascension is that it's not when or where or how it happened, but that the Ascension is a pivotal point when the ministry of Jesus morphs into the ministry of the Christian community. Perhaps that's Luke's deeper meaning in arranging it as a discrete event. Clearly, Luke's greatly influenced by the Ascension of Elijah, as recorded in the second book of Kings. Elijah ascends into heaven on a flaming chariot. But the important detail of that story is that his mantle, his cloak, as he ascends, falls onto the shoulders of his disciple Elisha, giving Elisha a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And clearly Luke has this in mind as he constructs his event of the ascension of Jesus. But the significance of the falling of the mantle is important, and we will come to see that in due course. Elisha receives a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And on Pentecost, the church receives a double portion of the spirit of the risen Christ. But first, the Master must ascend. Now, last week I emphasized that God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth is a vision primarily not of a future in heaven, but as a call to action in this life. The revelation to John is explicit on this point. I saw the new Jerusalem descending to earth, so that from henceforth the life of God is to be found among mortals. Now, the biblical imagination pictures a kind of metaphorical ladder rising from earth into heaven, and Jesus is ascending upwards before disappearing into the clouds. Now, this is not an image that works very well for the modern religious imagination. Instead of a ladder disappearing into the clouds, might we better picture heaven and earth no longer as up or down, but in parallel dimensions, alongside each other, between which a conduit opens, and along this conduit there's a two-way traffic flow between the divine and the temporal dimensions, between what we call God's space and our space. And with the ascension, we reach the beginning of the pivotal moment when the ministry of Jesus becomes the work of the Christian community to carry forward. Now, the image of the conduit opening between the dimensions, allowing a two-way flow between them, better speaks to our sci-fi influenced religious imagination. And through the conduit opening between the dimensions, Jesus returns to God's space, releasing his all-empowering spirit to flow in the opposite direction from God's space back into the church, the divine energy of the God's space permeating our space. And so the real question around the ascension is not with how, when this happened, but what next? Now, the traditional religious imagination pictures two possibilities in answer to the question, what next? So, for instance, it's interesting that Ascension Day provides two collects, representing a tension within the Christian imagination in response to the question, what next? So just listen for a moment. The first collect, Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Mercifully give us faith to perceive that according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Compare Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so may we also in heart and mind there ascend and with him continually dwell. The tension concerns the location of the kingdom of God. Is it here or is it up there? And we see how the religious imagination struggles with the question. We long to throw up our arms, giving up on the evils of the world, to ascend with the Lord and there with him to dwell in perpetual bliss and felicity. In response to the experience, there is something in us that longs for God to rescue us from ourselves and the mess we continue to make of the world. This is an image that is very attractive to us in the current period of time as we stare into the abyss of the continued pandemic, ecological collapse, and the resurgence of holy war, or sacred violence, as I've been naming it. Things seem to be going from bad to worse according to every measure of progress. So it's a natural response to pray to God to beam us up, Scotty. Yet the ascension of Jesus is God's promise to fill all things and to abide here with us. Amidst all the pain and the disappointment and the sheer messiness of this world. And we must not fall to the temptation of wishing to be rescued out of this world. Instead, we must stand firm, empowered by a double measure of the Spirit of Jesus, to face up to the challenges ahead in the knowledge that God is here, empowering us in the age-long struggle to realize the kingdom of God, the new heaven on earth. The ascension of our Lord is a central truth of the Christian faith. The nature of this truth does not lie in the where or the when or the how mechanics of the event as Luke pictures it. The truth of the ascension lies in its place along a continuum from the birth through the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the birth of Jesus, God the Creator comes to dwell within the tent of the creation. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, God the Redeemer broke the grip of sacred violence upon the human heart. Now, I've spoken about sacred violence within the context of Russia's holy war against Ukraine. But sacred violence is all around us. It's currently fueling the denial of a woman's access to safe reproductive health. It's fueling the scapegoating of LGBTQ persons, particularly the T persons. It encourages the embrace of white supremacy and the connivance with domestic terrorism. So sacred violence is all around us. And if you think of all those instances, the violence begins with the perception of doing God's will. That's what makes it sacred. And in the ascension of Jesus, now pictured as an interdimensional movement, the Spirit in Jesus returns to the unity of the divine community. But in so doing, Jesus does not discard his humanity like a worn-out set of clothes. Jesus returns to the God space clothed in the fullness of his humanity. And the ascension allows a double portion of his Spirit to flow back through the interdimensional conduit into our space, where we, his body on earth, become empowered to continue the work he began. The ascension is the prerequisite for Pentecost. The two-way traffic through the conduit between our space and God's space results in Jesus bearing the fullness of his humanity into the very heart of the divine community, so that, as Revelation poetically phrases it, the home of God now comes to dwell among mortals. From henceforth, to be human is to be most like God. These are profound implications for our role in what's next in God's work of renewing the creation. When we tire from gazing upwards, that is. Amen.